Living with the Enemy by Giles Brandreth and Nick Revel. Starring Nick Revel, Giles Brandreth and Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
You're late home?
So sorry. Completely slipped my mind you operate a curfew system. I must have lost my electronic tag without noticing.
Giles took me to see a TV show being filmed.
Yes, Celebrity 999.
Celebrity 999.
You know where they get celebrities to do the jobs of the emergency services. You get a week's training, then sent out on a job.
Public service broadcasting in the full Reithian tradition, though.
I might be doing one. Myself and Jade Goody, crewing a lifeboat.
We watched Paul Daniels trying to talk someone down from throwing themselves off a bridge.
Did he do it?
Sort of. The suicidal jumper pushed Paul off the bridge. But Paul will be okay. He's bounced back from worse.
So, good week?
Yes.
Yes. Very quiet, wasn't it, Sophie?
Oh, yes. Very quiet.
Really?
How was Paris?
Very pleasant, thank you.
Good.
How can one go wrong in Paris?
Well, one can hardly go wrong in Paris at all. Unless, of course, one goes to Paris having told one's flatmates one is going to Paris and leaves one's flatmates alone in one's flat, assuming mistakenly that they are responsible adults.
What?
What?
Good party, was it?
Party?
What party?
The party you had on Saturday night.
I should have known we could hide nothing from you, Nick. Your meditation and your yoga means you can truly see inside another's soul.
Perhaps, but I did have a little help. The smell of stale beer and cigarette smoke was a bit of a clue. And then furniture has obviously been moved and moved back inaccurately because the feng shui in here is completely out of whack. But the real clincher was the eyewitness account of the, quote, superb frigging party mate, unquote, from the couple who were still here when I got back at lunchtime and who were having sex on my antique Taoist temple robes.
That would be Emmett and Yvonne. For them, the act of love is a sacrament.
Oh, yes, now I come to think about it, we did have a few people round on Saturday night, didn't we?
Oh, yes, but wouldn't call it a party.
No, that's not what Barry the Doorman called it either. He said that when he called the police, it was more like a full-scale riot going on up here.
Well, you can't trust anything Barry says. He said for 50 quid he wouldn't tell you anything about it.
You could at least have cleaned the place up.
We spent all yesterday cleaning the place up. We were going to do the rest tonight. You're home a day early. That's cheating.
I'm home on time. Clearly you literally don't know what day it is.
Well, time is a bourgeois capitalist concept designed to take freedom from the proletariat.
But handy for not getting caught out having trashed your landlord's flat.
I've been saying for ages we should hire a cleaner.
Bit of personal responsibility and we wouldn't need a cleaner. Bit of cleaning, you develop some personal responsibility.
He does have a beautiful way with words, Sophie. Notice how what he said just now seemed to mean something until you actually thought about it.
I'm not going to get into an argument over this. Let's concentrate on the good news, which is that you'll be out of here in a few days, is that right?
Yes.
That's right.
The builders did have the cancellation?
Yes.
And they did come?
Yes.
They did the work on your flat?
Yes, they came. They mended the ceiling beautifully, in fact. Whole place looked far better than before.
Looked. Past tense.
Well,
the thing is,
it's quite funny, really. You remember how I'm only living here in the first place because you left a bath running and it brought my ceiling down. As I said, it's really quite amusing.
Yes, the humour of that situation rarely escapes me. When I'm down, depressed, or merely fearful of the bewildering new varieties of pain this world can throw at us every day, I just stop and think, hey, if I hadn't left that bath running, I wouldn't be sharing a flat with Giles Brandon. And then I laugh to myself, out loud. Ha, 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 ha.
And that make everything seem okay? And you feel happy?
Do I look happy?
Not really, no.
No. Continue.
Well, yes, the builders came, they did the job, so we thought we'd have a few people over on the Saturday evening to celebrate moving out ahead of schedule.
And we didn't want to have our party to celebrate moving out when you were here, Nick, in case it made you think we were celebrating not having to live with you.
So, anyway, there we were, out on the roof garden, and we saw a family of foxes down in the gardens.
And we were watching them for ages.
And then I said how funny it was, in that here we were celebrating moving out, and there were foxes in the gardens, because the reason we moved in is because Nick left a bath running when we'd been watching foxes from the roof garden. And then
it was really funny because Giles said that, and then someone said, oh my God, I left a bath running. And we all ran down, and there was a bath running, and it had brought down the ceiling that the builders had just mended. And Giles's flat cannot be habitated again now for some time.
Ha, 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 ha.
I'm sorry, Nick, there was nothing malicious about it. Just Sophie's friends getting out of control. You know what young people are like.
Hey, don't blame me. My friends were just preparing to have an erotic bathroom experience that would not hurt anyone. It was your friends who got the indoor fireworks mixed up with the skyrocket.
Skyrocket?
It's okay, it went straight through the window. Would have been cheaper if the window had been open, but we did get that fixed. It's your fault, really.
Oh, really?
Yes, Hairshirt Harry. If we didn't live under the baleful glare of your constant puritanical condemnation, we wouldn't have all that bottled-up joie de vivre to release in such a wild way when we do get the chance.
OK, well, like it or not, Cromwell's back. And he hopes you're going to finish off the cleaning tonight, warts and all.
Actually, Nick, I was hoping for an early night. I have to be up at the crack of dawn.
Oh, yes, let's not dwell on the negatives and celebrate Sophie's good news.
This had better be good. You two are really out of order.
Not now, Nick. Remember, as Nanny used to say, when you are pointing one finger at another person, you are pointing three fingers at yourself. We've already been over the running bath episode.
I have an audition tomorrow for Sebastian Botany.
The director? The Sebastian Botany?
Yes, an old friend of mine.
A left-wing avant-garde filmmaker is a friend of yours?
Ever since I helped him get funding for that film he made on the Toxteth riots when I was arts minister.
What, the government backed Molotovs across the Mersey?
Of course. All the extras were unemployed locals. Got the jobless figures down significantly at a very difficult time. Anyway, Sebo was here at the party, and he's very interested in Sophie for his new film.
I'm very excited. He works in a very method way. You know, you have to be in character for hours. Should be an amazing experience.
What's your part, darling?
I play an asylum seeker from West Africa.
Ooh. Wait a minute, you've been out with her all evening and you didn't even ask her about her part?
Giles was being very method all evening. In his character of a narcissistic media whore ingratiating himself with an entire production team.
Must have been a stretch.
He was surprisingly convincing.
I took you with me, didn't I? And took you for a spin in the new motor.
What new motor?
I'm test driving the new 8-litre stallion for Mighty Throbbing.
That's some kind of porno film.
It's a motoring programme on the Geezers, Girls and Gadgets channel.
So I wasn't far wrong.
I've got it for a whole week. Managed to persuade the Spectator to commission a piece about it as well. Tales from the Road, a Chelsea tractor in Hammersmith. Sort of a Tom Wolfe kind of thing. You must come for a spin.
Must I?
Anyone seen my keys?
Tried your handbag?
Good idea. Anyone seen my handbag?
You really do need to get yourself organised, Sophie.
Okay!
No one can function properly in chaos. Your room looks like a bomb hit it.
Okay, okay. You have been in my room?
Yeah. I was looking for my mobile, which I found, and couldn't help noticing you had used to make several foreign calls. Martinique, as it turns out.
I couldn't find mine. And it was my mother's birthday. I'll pay you back. Ah, my handbag.
In the bread bin?
I've been distracted, thinking about this audition.
Any money in it?
Yes, 50 quid.
I'll take 10 for the phone call. Thank you.
Want me to give you a lift to the audition in the morning? Arrive in style?
No, thanks. I want to get into character and go on the bus.
Where is the audition?
I wrote it down somewhere. Where was it? Ah, yes. On the centre page spread of London's 30 most eligible bachelors. Friday Standard.
Which has been recycled.
No, actually, it's in the bin. I remember using it to wrap my toenail clippings in.
Great.
Newspaper should go in the recycling bin.
I know. I was in the mood for bucking the system. Wicked, aren't I?
We've only got the one planet, you know.
Yes, and worse, only the one flat.
Found it. St. J's Church Hall, NW6, 6 a.m.
That's early.
That's your business. Where would NW6 be?
Could be Kilburn, could be West Hampstead, depending on whether you're an estate agent or not.
And is it St. John or St. James?
St. James, definitely. I'll remember him to say.
Tell you what, Sophie, if you want to get into character, why don't you spend the night doing a cleaning job?
Good idea. Oh, but it would strike a false note in my backstory. A refugee would never be living in a luxurious flat like this. And even if she was, if the owners were at home, they would not want her cleaning during the night for all the noise she would make.
Uh-huh.
Ah, good morning. Decided to come for a spin after all?
No. I hope you're going to give this monstrosity a scathing review.
What do you mean? It's a beauty. Four-wheel drive, sat-nav, tinted windows, 8-litre engine, twin fuel tanks.
Haven't you heard of global warming?
Of course, but you don't notice it inside this baby. The air conditioning is fantastic.
And such an essential vehicle in a city, really, isn't it, a 4x4? You really need that off-road facility for when the mists come down on those treacherous back streets off the King's Road.
Are you coming for a ride in it or not?
No, thanks. I think I'll do something more environmentally responsible, like fly to Brazil and burn down a rainforest.
Excuse me, sir.
Why are you talking in that strange accent?
I am in character. Excuse me, sir. I am a penniless refugee attempting to get to a church hall in Kilburn, where I have the opportunity to find maybe a job. I was wondering that if you were going my way, I might be able to ride with you in your car. Hi. Do you know which one is the director?
Director?
For the audition.
Audition?
Oh, right. Sorry. Method.
What?
Very good. Totally in character.
I not understand.
So we just stand around and wait?
Yes. Sometimes get the job, sometimes not.
I thought at least they'd give us something to do.
All right, everybody, this is a raid. Everyone's getting the vans. We have the whole area surrounded. Don't try and get away.
Hurva!
A raid! This is more like it. But all these vehicles and people dressed as police just for an audition. Oh, dear.
Come on, love, get in the van.
Actually, there has been some kind of a mistake.
Yeah, of course there has, love.
I have come to the wrong church hall.
Yeah, not wrong there, are you? Now get in the van.
You'd be appalled the kind of prejudice one suffers driving around in a 4x4.
Yeah, I'm sure I'd be really appalled.
Cyclists shaking their fists at you and swearing. People getting upset just because one takes up 2 parking bays. Hardly my fault the council don't paint the things big enough. That is a patent discrimination against those entrepreneurial enough to afford a decent size of vehicle. But you try telling people that, and do they listen? No. They just make crude and speculative remarks about the solitary nature of one's sex life.
And yet strangely accurate.
And the cost to fill one up? Thank heavens, I can claim it on expenses. I don't know how anyone could afford it out of their own pocket.
Hmm. And what conclusions do you draw from that?
The sooner we get a sensible energy policy worked out, the better.
Do I spot a chink of wisdom sneaking into your worldview?
Yes, it's time to face hard facts and accept that we have to invade all the oil-producing countries in the world and cap the price immediately.
Silly me.
How did Sophie's audition go?
She's not home yet.
Wow. Sebo really puts his actors through it, doesn't he?
Okay, Miss Akuyu, here's your phone card. You have 10 minutes credit.
Just so you know, the person I will be ringing is an ex-cabinet minister. Are you sure you don't want to just let me go home right now? He will make life very difficult for you.
Darling, you can phone who you like. This is a detention centre for illegal immigrants. Not even the Home Secretary can tell us what to do. If he does, we just talk to the news of the world.
Not so condemning now about the gas-guzzling monster, eh?
This is an emergency, isn't it?
In 300 yards, bear left.
A voice on the sat-nav. Condoleezza Rice?
Yes, this is a 4x4. We like to look down on the world. Told you it was a classy motor. Smell the leather, feel the suspension.
Will you concentrate? We have a serious crisis on our hands here.
It'll be fine. We get to the detention centre, explain there's been a misunderstanding. Sophie comes home, goes to the right church hall for the real audition, which she'll be far better equipped for after this experience, and we all laugh about it when she picks up a BAFTA.
Be happier if we'd found her passport.
You seem to forget, Nick, that I am a former Member of Parliament and Minister of the Crown, which does give me a certain authority when dealing with bureaucrats. They automatically defer to the ruling elite.
You have reached your destination.
If there's one thing I can't stand, it's people trying to pull rank.
But I am a former Minister of the Crown.
Oh, so you'd like me to call you Minister?
Indeed.
And yet last time I saw you was on that reality farming show on ITV6, coaxing a sperm sample out of a Gloucester Old Spot ball. So,
Surely a more current title for you would be to address you as Mr. Pigwanker.
Will you please just let us see her?
Anyway, if you're so disapproving of reality shows, why were you watching?
Good point. Unfortunately, your implication that I keep double standards serves only to annoy me. I keep telling you, unless you can produce documentation, there is nothing I can do.
But we must see her!
Unless you're her next of kin or her solicitor, that is out of the question.
He's her godfather.
Don't count.
But if you talk to her, she'll be telling exactly the same story as we are.
She hasn't been processed yet.
Look, surely you accept I am telling the truth.
What do you think? You just said yourself you used to be in the government.
Why else would I be trying to get her out of here?
Who knows? She's young, attractive. You used to be a colleague of Jonathan Aitken.
How dare you, sir!
Come on, Giles, we'll just have to go home and have another look for the passport.
And you will try to tell this story to police, that you are really actress.
It is true.
Yeah, and it is also true that I am qualified doctor. But here, the only thing foreigner always lie.
If you are a doctor, why are you trying to get a job as a cleaner?
Visa lost in system, money run out.
God, this is awful.
At least you have friends to help you.
You have no one?
No one who has phone. Office at hospital, just answer phone. All the way on course to learn how to speed up processing of foreign doctors. Ugh. Make me nostalgia for old days of Soviet Union.
Is there anywhere we haven't looked?
Anywhere we haven't looked?
I'm sorry, you know very well, I had to get the graffiti off the car before it dried completely.
Did you speak to Botany?
He won't help. Says he can't risk upsetting the Immigration Service because he's too busy making his film, which is a searing indictment of the Immigration Service.
What time's your meeting tomorrow at the Foreign Office?
Midday.
Fingers crossed, then.
No need to worry. George Charters won't let us down.
We hope.
He sorted out her passport in the first place, didn't he? No, George won't let us down.
I've already told you, Giles. George apologises, but he really is too busy to see you.
It's an outrage.
There are other things happening in the world, you know. Oh, and he said to thank you for the return of the photos.
That's rich. If I hadn't returned them, I'd be sitting in his office right now.
Yes, well, let's get back to the main point, shall we? Very careless of Miss Okuyu to mislay her passport, Giles.
I know, I know. How long will it take you to authorise a replacement?
Ah, yes, well, that might be a bit of a problem.
What kind of a problem?
Well, you see, the situation in West Africa has changed, rather, since we last met. You'll remember how you very convincingly made the case that the new regime in Nakundu would most likely be even more despotic than the one of Miss Okuyu's uncle.
Of course I do.
Well, all the signs are that that's not the case. All signs are that the new regime is one of the more progressive and democratic in the region. So it'd be a big risk to our currently excellent relations with that regime if they knew that we were supporting in any way a potential opponent. Especially since the discovery of the offshore oil fields.
Please tell George he is a ruthless and duplicitous operator.
Yes, yes, he is highly valued, yes. I could give you one piece of helpful advice.
Yes?
If you ask nicely.
Please.
Very nicely.
Please, sir, may I have some helpful advice?
No. No, just kidding. You remember my brother, Brian, used to be at the Home Office?
Took early retirement over the embezzlement rumours.
Only rumours, Giles. Anyway, he's set up as a private immigration advisor. Meant to be one of the best in the business, apparently. They reckon if Al Fayed hadn't offended him by prosecuting over that Hermes scarf that accidentally fell into his wife's shopping bag, that Al Fayed would probably not only have a British passport by now, but a peerage as well. It should be pretty straightforward. So, like I say, Giles, pretty straightforward.
That's excellent news, Brian. What do I do?
First, you pay me £5,000.
£5,000?
She is your goddaughter. You let slip to my brother that she means a lot to you. Bad mistake. Weakens your bargaining position.
You
should try reading The Art of War. Never reveal your true situation to the enemy. And besides, I'm sure that you got handsomely remunerated for inducing that sample out of the Gloucester old spot.
I make it payable to Brian Caldecott, do I?
Brackets, Cayman Islands account, close brackets. Ah, Coots. Lovely. So, here's what we do. You have to prove you're capable of supporting Miss Okuyu financially, that she'll be living at a permanent address and with a stable domestic environment. You are still living with your wife. Oh, sorry, forgot about the breakup.
Having an affair with a footballer, wasn't
it? My domestic situation is stable.
The photo for her,
I share a very nice, enormous flat in Hammersmith with a friend.
Oh, jolly good. Could you marry her?
It's a him.
Ah, would still help.
You mean?
A civil ceremony.
But we're not gay.
Oh, shame. Puts out the right signals about stability and long-term commitment to the immigration people, you think? I could put the wheels in motion to speed that up as well, if you like. No extra charge, seeing it's you.
Oh, God, do it.
Well, that is marvellous news. And may I be the first to congratulate you on the happy event. No, don't glare like that, Giles. Two people binding themselves in a quasi-matrimonial condition till death them do part is a cause for celebration.
Just pull the strings.
You don't want to discuss it with your partner first?
He'll understand the situation.
You must be out of your mind.
It's not for us, it's for Sophie. She'll be deported.
They won't deport her. She'd be in danger of being tortured and imprisoned.
Don't you read the papers? Those are the precise criteria this government looks for to send people back home.
Oh, God, I leave my bath running and bring down your ceiling, let you stay for one night, and now I have to marry you?
How do you think I feel?
I can't think. You're a product of the public school system.
That is a crassly homophobic response.
I am not homophobic. I just don't want to marry you. I wouldn't want to marry you even if you were a woman, or if you were a man and I were a woman. There's got to be another way.
Caldicott is one of the best in the business. He's prepared all the other paperwork. He says this will swing it. We go to the town hall first thing, then straight on to the detention centre, and Sophie is back here in time for tea.
But, oh, God.
From that stinking hellhole where she is presently incarcerated, probably aging a year a day.
Yes, but...
Her fragrant beauty and sunny disposition calcifying under the jackboot of state oppression.
All right, you've made your point. Even if with a ridiculous metaphor, how can a jackboot calcify anything?
The jackboot of state oppression crushes.
Enough! We don't have to consummate it for it to be legal.
Not as far as I know. But if we do, you can have choice of position. That was a joke.
Does anyone have to know, apart from us and the registrar?
Just the witnesses. Nick, think of Sophie.
Oh, God. Well, before we do this, I'm drawing up a prenuptial agreement.
So you have passport, but cannot find.
I've been a bit untogether recently. Too busy partying and living off other people's money. If I get out of here, I am never going to be irresponsible again. My life in London has been a great, big, selfish, materialistic, self-indulgent, amoral vacuum.
That we all aspire to. Don't knock it. You're living the capitalist dream, huh? But I think maybe I can help.
How?
Hypnotize you to remember.
Really?
Sure. I stop many people smoke this way.
Oh, worth a try.
Okay. Concentrate on my lighter and count back from 10.
10, 9, 8... 7.
And by the power vested in me, I pronounce you legally bound in a civil partnership. You may kiss.
Thanks. I'll bear that in mind.
Oh, I was all puckered up. Oh, well, we better get going. Oh, Sophie, darling, hello. Oh, don't worry, we're on our way, and it's going to be all right. Oh, have you? Where? In the freezer?
Who bought all these disgusting pizzas? They're full of preservative. Made in Germany? German pizzas in my freezer?
Spare us the lecture. Is the passport there?
Yes. Behind what is, if I am not very much mistaken, a factory-farmed chicken.
All right, we'll donate it to the Harvest Festival. Well, come on then. We've got to get round to Caldicott's office first.
Explain to me again.
Sophie has a passport, so she's free to go.
And we didn't have to get married.
Not really, no. But it's worked out for the best. Her friend Olga hypnotized her into remembering where she'd put it. So Sophie asked me if we could get Olga out as well. Caldecott says he can change the name on the sponsorship papers. Olga's a doctor, waiting for her visa to come through the system, so she'll be under our wing for a little while, and then out there on her own, saving lives, at vast cost to the National Health Service. And while she's waiting, she can be our cleaner.
OK, well, the passport's genuine. She's free to go.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank you.
We got married for nothing.
And the paperwork is in order for Olga Radushinskaya?
Appears to be, yep. Give my regards to Mr. Caldecott.
This Olga person, we don't know anything about her.
I can vouch for her. She has kept me sane and protected while I have been in this horrible place.
Yeah, but living in the flat?
Where's your faith in humanity? Where's your sense of altruism? Look, Nick, I know she's not Polish, but some of these Russian girls can clean almost as well. Well, Olga, this will be your new temporary home. I hope you like it.
It is beautiful.
And you'll clean it for us on a daily basis till your surgical qualifications are indemnified?
What rates?
Well, I'd rather thought it might be a quid pro quo basis.
I not speak Latin.
We'll work something out. Here, tea.
Oh, you are very kind.
Yes, I am. And long-suffering to the point of self-destruction.
Don't mind Nick. He's naturally very gloomy, but he forgets that very easily if you flirt with him.
Cheer up, Nick. Let's watch one of your Doris Day movies. That always puts you in a good mood.
What's wrong with Doris Day?
You love Doris Day. So, neither of you gorgeous gentlemen married?
Actually, we're both in the process of getting divorced. In fact, Giles, you're in the process of two divorces.
Oh, yes. My wife, Melissa, slipped my mind. Oops.
Oops. You can go to jail for bigamy.
Good morning. Anyone seen the keys to the stallion? They were on the table.
Maybe Olga moved them when she was cleaning. Olga? Olga?
Maybe she's still in bed. Olga?
The car's not there.
Nor is Olga.
Please, no.
Oh, dear. She seems such a nice person.
Oh, no. And she didn't even hoover through once.
Well, she won't get far. She's never going to be able to afford to fill that thing up, is she?
You see, Sophie, what happens when you let indiscriminate compassion govern your behaviour?
Now, Giles, remember, as Nanny used to say, when you point one finger at another person, you're pointing three at yourself.
Living with the Enemy was written by Giles Brandreth and Nick Revel and starred Nick Revel, Giles Brandreth and Gugu Mbatha-Raw. It also featured Dan Mersch, Martin Hyder and Barunka O'Shaughnessy. Original music by Ben Walker. The producer was Ed Morrish.